Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy on this 16th day of May. And just, you know, I'm not a big birthday guy, but a month from now, it'll be my birthday. I just want to throw that out, Michael. Write it down if you want to, just so you know. If you're preparing anything, you know, don't get too crazy, all right? Not like last year, okay?
Preparing what?
Yeah, exactly. Joining me now, the one and only Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, always good to catch up with you.
Brady, it's great to catch up with you, especially on this special day, 1 month before your big day.
1 month. I always say I don't want to make a big deal out of my birthday, but it is officially the 1 month countdown. So tomorrow will be less than 1 month countdown. So yeah, again, I don't want to make a big deal about it.
Of course, no, but everyone's got it on their calendar, June 16th.
Well, okay, all right, full disclosure, it's actually June 17th, but I wanted to get people ahead an extra day, because last year I did this on the 17th of May, and still nobody made a big deal about it. But again, don't make a big deal about it. I can't stress it enough.
That's smart, Brady. You give the extra day. That's what we all needed.
I need the extra day. It's an experiment. And if this doesn't work, we're going to start 2 months before a big birthday week. And we'll see what happens. Zach, okay, a lot of craziness last week. Obviously, I want to get to the schedule with you. I want to get your official prediction at this point. Are you locking in predictions right now, or do you lock it in when you get closer to August and such? Or do you feel comfortable locking in Zach Stevens' official record coming up on the show today?
You know what? I'll lock it in today. I'll lock it in another month. It's ever changing, but I'm always okay with giving my prediction.
I love it. All right, we'll get to that. Unfortunately, I want to talk about some of the serious stuff first. We obviously went over the gist of what was going on with Jerry Jeudy and everything. Where does everything stand today with Jerry? Ultimately, you know, again, you don't want to make light of any situation even close to this, but it does seem like things are probably going to clear up with this. What's the latest for us, Zach?
Yeah, Brady, that's what it feels like right now. And like you said, you don't want to make light of this right now. And so there still are charges against him. And so that's kind of where we are right now. But the woman involved on the other side of it does not want the charges to go through, wants them to be dropped. So that's probably going to play into it. As we found out the details, Jerry took some of her belongings, locked them away in a car, would not let her leave. And she did not want Jerry to be arrested, but because of the nature of the situation, the police had to do that. So that's why it escalated to where it was. But I would expect that this, when it comes to the football season, probably isn't going to impact him much, if all, if anything. When Nathaniel Hackett was asked over the weekend about it, he said, we're here to work with Jerry and move on from this situation.
Okay, well, we'll keep our eyes out for the story. But how about Jerry overall, Zach? I had you on a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was a month or two ago, you know, the Russell Wilson backyard kind of mini, whatever that was. Jerry wasn't there, but he tweeted about it, and he was kind of vague, and I think we were all kind of like, dude, just be direct or don't get on there at all. And then, of course, Jerry hasn't quite met that expectation that comes with a first rounder. Where is Broncos country with Jerry Jeudy at this point?
Yeah, I think they're waiting to see who he truly is as a person and a player, because Brady, I think the word that comes up when you think of Jerry Jeudy, for me, it's not bust right now, but there are some people that are talking about it. The word that comes up for me is disappointing, and that's what last week was for me. It was a really disappointing situation that he would handle himself that way and put him in a position to be arrested and then to spend the night in jail. That's really disappointing. And I think when you look at his career, it's also very disappointing as of right now. Now, he can still rebound. We know he's still a special talent. And when you look at last year, though, zero touchdowns. Brady, how does that happen? And I don't want to hear, oh, Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Locke. No, zero touchdowns for a guy that was a first-round pick just the year before. That is incredibly disappointing. This is a huge season. This is a no-excuse season for him. If he's able to go out, put up 1,000 yards, okay, then everyone's going to say, all right, Jerry Jeudy's just fine. But if he comes out and has another season where he's not seeing the end zone or he's getting two touchdowns in an entire season, then we're just going to be talking about disappointing even more. And then some people are going to legitimately be talking about a bust.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. You've got a lot of guys that were, well, two guys specifically that were first rounders and were thought to be big parts of this organization. That's Bradley Chubb and Jerry Jeudy. Both of those guys feeling the pressure. Zach, who's feeling the most pressure of those two guys because of what Jerry's been through? But obviously, Bradley, it does feel like the clock is ticking a little bit faster for him.
100%, and I agree with you. I think it is Bradley because this is his contract year. This is his final year on his deal. And Brady, it is absurd, the stakes that are on his season. He could go out and get a five-year, $100 million contract with $60 million guaranteed if he goes out and has 14 sacks this year. However, let's say he only plays in half the game, doesn't get any sacks, and you're probably saying, well, that's crazy. No, that's exactly what happened last year. No sacks and only played in half the games. If he goes out and does that, he signed a one-year, $4.5 million prove-it deal with some team to prove. So, I mean, it's not ridiculous to say there's $100 million on the line for Bradley Chubb. And Jerry still has his fourth year under his contract. Next year, the Broncos could then use the fifth-year option the year after. So this is an important year for Jerry. But in terms of the finances and his future with the team, not nearly as badly.
Well, plus you have the pressure there too with Nick Benito right behind him, as you talked to us about a couple of weeks ago. So I'm here for it. I love and hate these situations, Zach. But I'm all about watching players to see how they deal with pressure. I think that's one of the fun things of this game. So Jerry Jeudy, Bradley Chubb, certainly ready to see what they can do. All right, Zach, are you? We're gonna do rapid fire schedule. I'm just gonna fire off the schedule. You just go win loss, whatever you do. Okay.
Let's go.
All right, let's roll, Michael.
Rapid fire.
All right, Zach. Week one at Seattle.
Easy dub.
Week two, home against the Texans.
An absolute blowout.
Week three, home against the Niners.
Win. And I don't care who their quarterback is.
3-0 right now. At Vegas, week four.
Lost. It's going to be a tough one. Josh McDaniels playing against the Broncos. Man, that's going to be a fun storyline, too.
Can't wait. Home against the Colts the following week.
Win Thursday night at home. That favors the Broncos a lot.
At Los Angeles Chargers the following week.
Lost. The Chargers are legit.
Home against the Jets.
Oh, easy dub.
In London against the Jags. Might feel like a home game for the Broncos, though.
It certainly will, and that's also going to be a dub.
Okay. At Tennessee. Okay, they have the bye, and then they're at Tennessee.
Man, Brady, really, really quick on this one. The Broncos are not meant to beat a team like Tennessee. Derrick Henry could have a monster day, but I'm still going the Broncos get the win.
Broncos win. Okay, you have two losses so far. Home against the Raiders.
That's a win. The Broncos split with Oakland, or with Las Vegas.
At Carolina.
That's a win. Easy.
Okay. At Baltimore.
That is a loss. Tough place to play and a good team.
Yeah. Home against the Chiefs on December 11th. What is that? Is that a Sunday night game or a Monday night game?
It is. It is a Sunday night game. It's the Broncos' last official primetime game. And Brady, the streak ends that
day.
The Broncos get a win. Beat the Chiefs on primetime football, and the streak is over.
Oh, I love it. I have that going that way, too. I have the Ravens-Chiefs situation exactly the same way. Home against the Cardinals.
Win. At the end of seasons, the Cardinals under Cliff Kingsbury absolutely fall off a cliff, and that happens again.
Okay, at Los Angeles, Christmas Day, Christmas afternoon.
Man, I mean, against the defending Super Bowl champs who are going to be rolling at the end of the season, that's a lot. Not a fun Christmas surprise.
At Kansas City.
That is a loss. So another streak continues, although it's only a one-game losing streak at that point. But, hey, at the end of it, Brady, if I were to ask you right now, would you split against the Chiefs? I think everyone in Broncos country would say absolutely.
No question about it, my man. Final game of the season, home against the Chargers.
They lost in Los Angeles, but at home they get the dub. So I have them splitting every single game or against every single team in the division, going 3-3, but then taking care of business outside of the AFC West.
All right, so you've got, am I right? Is it, you got 12-5? Is that right?
Yep.
12-5.
Exactly.
Hey, we're not that far off. I think I have them at 11-6, so we're not that far off. I think the one difference is early in the season, I think I have them losing to the Niners. And then late in the season, I have them beating the Cardinals. There's some other game I'm missing here that we are opposite on. But pretty close, man. Pretty close.
Yeah, and now why I think that the Broncos could lose to the 49ers is just because it's only going to be Russell's third game with the team, Nathaniel Hackett's third game with the team. I do expect some struggles at the beginning of the season, and fortunately the first two games, you can struggle a lot and still win those games. San Francisco, my only hesitation with giving San Francisco the win over the Broncos, and why I don't, is they don't have no one there likes their quarterback situation.
Yeah.
There's reports coming out last week about how there's still concerns over Trey Lance. And then what? They've been trying to kick Jimmy G out the door this entire offseason. He has shoulder surgery, and now he's going to come in and be a guy that's going to beat Russell Wilson. That's just where my concern is their quarterback position is so up in the air.
Yeah. I went back and forth on that one too, and I think that you're right. You could be at a point where you're playing some of your best football, even fast for the Broncos, quickly in week three, because you know it's so new. The freshness of everything is there. People are still trying to figure out with the Broncos. But Zach, don't you think that the pressure is certainly on Denver? I mean, they have to have not just a winning record before the bye, but they need to be blowing past that 500 mark, because you have it that way, I have it that way. A lot of people think they're going to run into a buzzsaw those last six or seven games.
Oh my gosh, absolutely, Brady, 100%. If I were to have made the Broncos schedule for them, I would have actually done it the opposite. Because of early struggles initially, I think it's okay if they would have lost to the Ravens in week two, if they would have lost to the Chiefs on the road in week three. But the way it sets up now is they have to be very strong coming out of that bye, because it's not crazy to say that they lose to that would be a little disappointing. That would take some wind out of their sails. And then two games against Kansas City. Brady, I'm not guaranteeing the Broncos beat Kansas City at home, but they certainly have a chance. But until they beat Kansas City, I'm not crowning them and saying that they're absolutely going to split against KC. So there are so many games in that backstretch that are so difficult. If the Broncos struggle 8 weeks into the season, we may be talking about, is this even a playoff team? Is this a team that's even going to get double-digit wins?
And that wouldn't that be just, I mean, not that anything's going to change with Russell or Nathaniel Hackett after that, but boy, talk about taking wind out of your sails. Even with the tough schedule, missing the playoffs this year, because I think the expectations are there. I mean, I don't even think that's a question anymore, Zach. Don't you? Most people that are following this team would say, yes, this is a playoff team now.
Oh, 100%, Brady. Yeah, it is playoff. Or very disappointing season. Now, let's say they go 10-7 and miss the playoffs because of a tiebreaker. Okay, people are going to be able to digest that a little better, but there's still going to be, I mean, massive disappointment across the city. But Brady, if we're talking about a 9-8 team, or, I mean, God forbid, another losing season, that's just hard to wrap my mind around. If they don't have a winning season, then obviously Russell Wilson's future with the Broncos is okay, but there may be concerns and calls for Nathaniel Hackett to be gone if that's the case. But I don't expect that to happen.
Okay, so last one for you then, because I agree with everything you just said, by the way. If you miss the playoffs, then I think there's at least question marks on Nathaniel Hackett, who is the most inexperienced coach in the West. I mean, Josh McDaniels had a stint with the Broncos, right, as far as head coaches go. So there will be maybe some growing pains. We'll see. That 12-5 record that you have, does that win the AFC West?
That is a great question, Brady. And it's going to come down to a tiebreaker. I think that the team that wins the AFC West is AFC West is going to have two 12-5 teams. So potentially, but also there's a chance that the Chiefs have a tiebreaker and win into 12-5. But one thing that I feel very confident in saying, That Chargers game, Brady, is going to mean a whole heck of a lot to the Broncos winning the AFC West, to the Broncos getting better playoff positioning against the Chargers. That Week 18 game, that is going to be flexed into primetime. The Sunday night game, Broncos are going to end with the most primetime games of any team in the NFL with six. That last game is going to be so big.
Well, and you look at the Chiefs' regular season schedule before the bye. I mean, they have Buffalo at home in there. They're on the road against Tampa Bay on a Sunday night game. They have the Chargers, and they start the season at Arizona, and then there's the trip to San Francisco on October 23rd. Their opening schedule's tough. I mean, you could make a case for two or three losses in those first seven games.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's almost the opposite of the Broncos. If the Chiefs get off to a slow start, don't write them off just yet. I know a lot of people tried to write them off at the end of last year, or at the first part of last year. Don't do that just yet. However, Brady, if they get off to a really good start and they're 7-1, 6-2, oh no, that is really bad news. But hey, at least it's not bad news like it was a couple of years ago in the past 5 years where the Broncos just had no chance. Even if the Chiefs are really good, the Broncos still have a chance. This is the first time we've been able to say that since Peyton was here.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. What did the rookies look like last week? Zach, I know I said one more, but I got to keep going. Rookies mini camp and all that stuff. So can you give us any kind of rundown there?
I'll tell you, Greg Dulcich is the guy that is catching my eye right away. And Brady, how I'm feeling over this past week, talking to coaches, watching these guys play, is it really feels like Greg Dulcich was the Broncos' first pick in this draft, and Nick Benito was their second pick. Nick Benito, very talented, but he has a long ways to go in order to being an every down player, in order to overtaking Bradley Chubb and Randy Gregory. Greg Dulcich, I think he's going to be the week one starter right now. I think he's going to be their starter. And what I'll say is he looks like a slot receiver when he runs routes. And I mean that in a great way. He's very fast, very quick. And I think he's going to develop his game where he's not just getting open 20 yards downfield, because I do think his speed is going to be a little limited in the NFL. What I see him really carving out himself a role is 5 to 15 yards downfield. He's going to be really he's really going to be able to find a way to get open.
So who do you think is going to have the better rookie year, Trey McBride, or our CSU guy, or Mr. Dulcich? I think that's a fun question. Maybe that's a poll question coming up.
Yeah, I love that poll question. And unfortunately for the Broncos, I got to give this one to Trey. Now, both teams have so many weapons around them that I don't think either rookie is going to go off for a massive year, but I just think the Broncos have even more weapons, especially with DeAndre Hopkins being out for the first six games there. I think Trey could really be involved to start his career there. I still see, saying everything I said, which is very positive about Greg, I still see it being a pretty underwhelming statistical year for him when it's all said and done. But I'm not going to be ready to write him off after that.
Yeah, like you said, with so many weapons, especially the Broncos, you got to think that's he'll kind of just fall into that a little bit. So some of that might just be the fact that there's a lot of options. Zach, my man, always great from you. What do you got for us cooking that we can later check out on the Twitterverse and DNVR Broncos and such?
Brady, this is the calm before the storm. Next week, 1 week from now, OTA starts. So a little bit of prep on that and looking over the schedule a little more. But next week is the big week.
I can't wait, man. Nobody does it better than you, my friend. Appreciate all the time you can give us. I know your schedule's nuts, but we're happy to make it work whenever we can. And we love getting you on the show.
And you know I love being on. Thanks for having me, Brady.
All right, my man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. He's going 12-5. I have 11-6. Am I right? I'm right on that, aren't I? Come on. I didn't go 12-5. And I do think 11-6 might still win the division. I think it could. I think Kansas City has a tough schedule, and they're going to try to learn what life is like without Tyreek Hill. That's no small thing. That will be really interesting to see how the Chiefs look before their bye week. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11-6. 24 minutes after the hour, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll get to my poll question, my Method Flow Products poll question of the day. How's this Avs-Blues series going to go down? Avs sweeping? 5, 6, 7? Or do the Blues pull off this win in round two and then bring up a very, very interesting debate about Jared Bednar's future with the Colorado Avalanche. Also, I got the good, the bad, the ugly. CSU's roster cuts, or roster at this point with the new additions. NIL stuff. Phoenix sucks. Luka is amazing. So much more. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the South.
You smell what the Rock is cooking.
Twenty-nine minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. How far is this thing going? Avs, Blues, go vote at theholeshow.com. Let's see where we're sitting here, folks. Avs in 4, 5, 6, 7 or Blues in 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, our boy Tanner Schwinn of NoCo Now. No Code Now. I knew I was going to do it once. I did it once. Only took me a week. Good morning, NoCo. Tanner and Brian doing a wonderful job. Love that show if you haven't heard it. 6 to 9 every day. Tanner's predicting the sweep, but Brian predicted the Avs to lose in the first round to Nashville, and then they did the complete opposite and swept them. So we got crazy predictions going on from that morning show crew. Nothing like my airtight predictions that I have. 40% of the hooligans are saying Blues in 7. Blues in 7. Then it's 24% is next, saying Avs in 7. 16% have Avs in 6. 12% Avs in 5. 8% Blues in 6. Nobody thinks the Blues are winning in 5. Nobody thinks the Blues are sweeping the Avs. And nobody on here thinks the Avs are sweeping the Blues. So there's three things that no hooligan can agree on, and that's Blues in 5, Blues in 4, and Avs in 4.
I don't think the Avs sweep either.
It's hard to do that. It's really hard to sweep in any sport, probably harder in hockey. And the fact that the Avs, they swept in the first round last year, they swept in the first round this year. I just don't see that happening. Again, my prediction from the non-X's and O's hockey guy, I still think the Avs, they sure seem like they're the team of destiny this year. So I'm going to go Avs in 6, and that is not a scientific pick. I could have closed my eyes and said Avs in 5, but Avs in 6 is what I feel comfortable saying.
And I'm going to go non-scientifically Avs in 5. I think they will get...
They get the gentleman's sweep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think they'll stumble on the road either in the first, probably in the first game on the road, but they'll, and I think this is not going to be like a 7-2, 6-3 type of, it's going to be a lot closer. You're going to have closer games.
Michael filling in, of course, today for Jades of Spades, who's getting ready to graduate coming up this weekend.
Go Broncos.
That's not Jades of Spades.
I know, but I just wanted to throw that in there.
That's your new thing. Didn't you like how Elway got on the scooter and did that thing? Like,
that was hilarious.
Because there was the deal, like, he had a few drinks, maybe, and he was on the scooter, and the media caught him and stuff, and he was kind of slurring his
words. Media's always catching
him drinking.
Who cares?
He called it out. He's having fun with it. If Elway does more of that stuff, people are going to get in. Like, I think that it's easier to go, you know what? Give the guy a break. It's fine. It was that video was awesome. Did you see the Chargers schedule release video, by the way?
I did not.
You should go check it out because you do the nerd show with Nick and Scott. You should check it out. That's all I'm going to say. Because it's like, I know you're not into anime and stuff, but it's nerdy. It's actually pretty good. I'm not an anime guy, but it's actually pretty good.
I'm definitely not anime, but I'll check
it
out.
But it's nerdy, and they put a lot of work into it.
If they go sci-fi in it, then I'll check it out.
They have some sci-fi elements, I'm sure, in there. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never been an anime fan. It's just not my area.
Well, you and me both, brother. 33 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. So let me know what you guys think on this one. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. Most of the hooligans are saying blues in seven. This is bizarre. This is absolutely bizarre. I thought we would get abs. You know, more people thinking the abs were going to take this thing. Maybe the seven, but it's 37. Okay, went down a little bit, but blues in seven and abs in seven is what's leading in the clubhouse. Go to thewholeshow.com to vote. I'd be curious to see if enough hooligans start to buy in a little bit more here in the next half an hour or so as far as where you're picking, because I'm shocked by this. 35% say blues in seven, abs. Abs in seven still holding on to number two, but 25%. Good. So what does that mean for Jared Bednar? If the Blues win this thing in seven, does Jared Bednar keep his job? Is he still the coach for the Avs next year? Now, I just thought this was interesting. Vegas fired their head coach today, DeBoer, after missing the playoffs. He was with them for three seasons. He was 98-50-12. He went to the conference finals in 2020. Lost in the Stanley Cup semifinals in 2021. Of course, that was the year they came back down 2-0 to beat the Avs in the second round and then lost in the Stanley Cup semis. They did not qualify for the playoffs this year. They have been in existence for 4 years, and this was the first year they didn't make it. I guess Vegas, and again, bear with me. I don't follow the Golden Knights. I'm just looking at records. Maybe he killed a kitten or something. I don't know. But they fired him. They had nice things to say about him after they fired him. So I don't think he killed a kitten. Or if he did, it was just one. But they are basically setting their standard of, if you miss the playoffs, you are fired. That's how it goes. What's going on? Oh, is that was the... Okay.
Yeah, I was doing the little, you're fired.
So my point is, if he can get fired, doesn't that mean Bednar can easily get fired, even though he's a good coach and he's done good things? But if you can't get him over this hump of the second round, I don't want to see him go. I also was reading this morning, though, that this is the year, if you're going to move on from coaches, there's a few hot candidates out there. So I feel like the pressure is on Jared Bednar. Round two, gotta win. So I hope the hooligans are wrong. 36 minutes after the hour, before I break, I want to shout out to one of my sponsors. That's No Limit Collectibles, man. They have your sports memorabilia, sports cards, your collections. You want to increase that collection, get it popping. You can sell there. You can trade there. They have signed jerseys and shirts and hats and bats and memorabilia, everything you need to get that man cave rolling. The office, all of it. At No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to the whole show. Thanks for being here. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. You can hear us in the Greeley area on 103.1 and all over Northern Colorado and beyond on 1310 KFKA, and even more beyond on 1310KFKA.com. Shout out to my guys at On the Rocks Liquor. They're always bringing us our game beer, having free wine and beer tastings on the weekends, Fridays and Saturdays. They're half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Love what they do. Great people that have been with this program since we started the early variation of this thing back in the day. So thank you to On the Rocks Liquor for being an amazing sponsor for us. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Some new guidelines are kind of being established for name, image, and likeness in college sports. They're walking back some of their regulations to protect incoming college athletes from boosters. According to SportingNews.com, they are working on basically tightening this up. They're trying to, they let schools know, and you know, basically boosters, that they're prohibited from having contact from incoming college athletes or their families. And that's boosters. It's part of, kind of part of the system. What about those that are not? What does it mean exactly? Here's the governance posted Monday by the NCAA. The guidance was developed by a task force of national leaders with student-athlete opportunity at the forefront of discussion. Specifically, the guidance defines as a booster any third-party entity that promotes an athletics program, there you go, assists with recruiting or assists with providing benefits to recruits. I thought that was already illegal. Or in enrolled student athletes or their family members. The definition could include collectives set up to funnel name, image, and likeness deals to prospective student athletes or enrolled student athletes who might be considering transferring. NCAA recruiting rules preclude boosters from recruiting and or providing benefits to prospective student athletes. Now, I thought that was already the case. That, okay, basically what it means is Ford Company, local Ford Company in Fort Collins, can't reach out to a kid that's in the portal or thinking about transferring. It's not even in the portal. Thinking about transferring and be like, dude, if you come here, you know, we got $20,000 of NIL money and a pickup for you. How are they going to govern that? I'm just, like, that could be coming up in passing. Kid could be at a dinner somewhere, and the Ford dealership guy just happens to be there. Hey, son, I heard you were thinking about, I don't know why he talks like that if he's from Colorado, thinking about coming to CSU. Well, if you do, give me a call. I got an NIL deal for you. Pretty big, pretty hefty. I'm prepared to spend a lot of money. Oh, I can't even talk about that. Okay, well, I didn't. I was just mentioning in passing. See you later. Kid thinks about it that night and goes, ooh, that would be kind of cool. Sweet, let's do it. How are you going to govern that? Again, it prohibits, they're basically saying anybody that's, it's like a third party, defines a booster as any third party entity that promotes an athletics program. So would a third party be someone that's not working with the school, but is more of an individual business that is doing some things solo, like a free agent with a student athlete? Is that a third? Would that be considered a third party booster? Would that be considered a booster, excuse me? I just think that this is, again, I started this show in 2012, the variation of the show. I was the co-host at the time. I had been saying this ever since I was on the air. Student athletes should be able to make money off of their name, image, and likeness. Does not mean the NCAA should pay them. If they would have started working on it even then, 2012, you might have a tighter system here. Now, it's college sports. It's not very tight. There's going to be corruption. That's what cracks me up about all this. People are like, it's ruining college sports. Oh, really? You don't think like sex parties at Louisville did that? Taking tests for student athletes so they could pass? Making up classes? Having agencies pay families so that their kid goes to their agency whenever he graduates college? Oh, you mean like that stuff? That stuff wasn't ruining college. That was just old, good old clean fun. But kids making money off of a dealership? That's tearing it apart. The foundation, the fabric of college sports is dissolving before our very eyes in this once very respectable division of college sports.
Didn't a few celebrities' kids a few years ago get into college because their parents paid?
Oh, was like, that the...
And their kids, like, didn't deserve it. Their kids were just too stupid to get in.
That was the Full House girl and then the Rich Housewives or whatever girl?
Yeah, it was a couple of them. Like, stuff like that is ruining college.
What? Exactly. And listen, I'm not excusing the fact that NIL is a little out of control right now, and that businesses should not be able. Yeah, I don't think a business should be able to go to a kid. I don't, but I don't know how you're going to stop it. Like, I don't know that it's that ethical. Like, I'll give you exactly how we do things here. I did not reach out, and I'm not even going to announce the player yet because we haven't signed anything. I did not reach out to this CSU player while he was still somewhere else. The businesses that I work with that help put these NIL deals on did not reach out to the... I reach out to the athletes personally because I do this for a living. I talk to athletes and coaches for a living, so why not do radio shows? So I organize these for my program. And I did not reach out to these guys before they were 100% committed to Colorado State. We are not using it as a bargaining chip or any kind of inducement or enticement to come here. Nothing like that. But is some of it getting out of hand? Yes. But don't sit here and act like it hasn't already been out of hand. That's what drives me nuts. I see all these former coaches on Twitter. Oh, it's ruining the fabric of college. Look at this. This is the end. College sports will cease to exist. Because you couldn't get away with taking billions of dollars and millions of dollars, whatever, and not letting your athlete sell his autograph for $25 or $45. And then it got out of hand. You didn't get control of it when you should have. You should have got control of this thing 20, 30 years ago. You could have made this thing airtight by now and been perfecting NIL in college sports. But instead, you let it go to the highest of courts. And they said, yeah, you got to let them make money. And now, cat's out of the bag. The toothpaste does not go back in the bottle on this one. You can try to regulate third parties from trying to entice student athletes, but how are you regulating that? And then, is it something where the school can say, if you break the rule, Ford Company, and I'm not saying a Ford Company did, whatever, if you break the rule and reach out to this student athlete before he's made up his mind as to where he's going, does that third party somehow get in trouble? Well, I mean, what do they get? Like, is it illegal? It's not illegal, right? Do they get banned from, you can never attend any games. You can never be involved with anything we do. Maybe that's what they do. I guess that would be the punishment. If you do that, you can't be a part of our booster club anymore. You can never attend any games and none of that stuff.
But that also hurts because what if it's like a really big sponsor?
Exactly.
What if it's like the
like,
main sponsor?
How are you going to, like, seriously, dude, how? I know we got a break here. How? How are you governing that? You're not. Billy, the owner of Soda Company, comes up to your son at Texas Roadhouse and says, hey, just saying, buddy, if you ever decide to come to so-and-so school, you got yourself a free so-and-so. I'm just messing with you, wink, wink.
Here's the funny thing. How many of those kids come to that school and end up sucking? So you might as well wait for them to get to that school first.
Right. Listen, I think that you shouldn't be doing this. Businesses, you should just stay the hell out of it. If you want to work with the kids after the fact that they've trained, good, perfect. Love that. Love that. Crazy Carl's Pizza does it the right way. I'm with you. Just sit back, stop doing it, stop being dirty. But unfortunately, it's not going to happen. Brady, see, this is what I told you. NIL, it's going to open this up. Oh, okay. Sex parties and fake classes weren't doing it for you. But this, oh no, this is what's going to destroy college sports. 12:52. We'll take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number one. I still got Jerry Schimmel coming up, the voice of the Colorado Rockies. Is it panic button time for the Rocks? I think so. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Hey, this is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Wow, man. That's when you know you have a powerful first hour. Zach Stevens jumping on. Fantastic work from him, as always. Busted into a little NIL stuff. And I ought to get into Phoenix, Dallas, man. Luka Doncic, man, just... People were tweeting. Suns fans were like, it's so disrespectful how he makes baskets and smiles and runs away. And every shot he made, I was paying attention to it. It looked like he was smiling. He was laughing. He was having the time of his life. And Phoenix is so damn cocky. Devin Booker is so damn cocky. And Chris Paul drives me absolutely insane. I was so happy to see this. Almost as happy as I was to see the Mavericks beat the Heat in the championship. One of those years in between their two titles and their four trips to the finals. Second hour coming up next. I'm going to break into the AFC West. Should you be worried about Nathaniel Hackett? Maybe. Talk about it next. The whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios.